So welcome everyone to the Human to Human podcast, where we do periodic learnings with interesting people, periodic writings voiced from the Human to Human blog. It's intimate conversations with self and other, and it's where we start anywhere and follow it everywhere. I'm your host, Tennyson Wolfe. Thanks for listening today. Today I'm joined with my friend Jim Strader Sasser, a friend and colleague. And Jim, you and I know each other through a couple of different contexts. One was an Episcopal church gathering where we got to be part of a workshop together that I was co-hosting with another colleague and friend, and we got to say hello and be with one another and strike up the beginnings of a friendship. We've also been connected through a couple of different offerings of the Circle Way. You were a participant at a practicum, again, that I co-hosted with another person. You and I have had a good share of phone calls and shared learning and stuff like that. I appreciate one of the things that I appreciate with you is your commitment to practice, your curiosity, your open thinking. You got a good brain and a good heart that I enjoy connecting with, Jim.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you for the invitation to spend some time with you today.
I love it. We're going to start just by jumping in, Jim, with a little bit of who are you? And I'm inviting you just to share some of the layers that you would like to share that reflect a bit of who you are.
Technically speaking, I'm an Episcopal priest who is in his 60s. I'm white. I'm gay. I'm married. I live in Danville, Pennsylvania. I'm in the 12th or 13th year of my ministry. I'm a former Air Force officer and navigator. So both my life as are my careers as a ordained person and as an officer probably speak to the deeper part of who I am. I consider myself a pilgrim. I'm wandering through life, but I'm not lost. I'm curious about paths and how we walk on them and how we share the walk with other people. It's interesting. And so you're asking this question, I'm looking at a card that a friend of mine gave me, and on the cover it says, encourager, counselor, teacher, preacher, leader, comforter. It's like, oh, did I sign up for all of that? But I suppose that's sort of who I am.
Yeah, that's good.
That's probably it.
You got a bit going. I know that there's that and stories that go behind that too. Yeah. Let's play with just a little bit of that, Jim. You've already started into it a little bit. One of my favorite questions to ask of people is, what's it like to be you? Or what's some of what it's like to be you these days? And I already told you the questions were going to be unfair. How is it that you became you? Can you share a snippet or a story or two?
Wow. It's mercurial to be me. It's hot and cold, and it's vibrant and dynamic. I think I became me initially when I went into the military. Mm-hmm. I made a conscious decision on a variety of levels of my personality to do that. And so that's where the traveling part of me came into being. That's the part of me that started to see the diversity in the world that I witnessed in Europe and in Asia and in Africa and in Central America. So I think I gained a broader lens of what it means to be human in the world, not just a sort of Southwestern Tucson, Arizona lens, but so that's part of who I am. Mm. I think the spiritual aspects of me also came into being as I matured, because I came from a fairly dogmatic Protestant background. Mm. And somewhere along the line, I went like, that just seems too thin. And so, and then I had a real crisis. I had to leave the military because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So that was a true coming out for me and a definite pivot in my life towards being a person that I had not been. I had to sort of relearn myself. And now I'm at another point in my 60s where it's like I'm advancing into another layer of what does it mean to be me, not only on a career level, but as someone who now participates in circles in a different way than I did and who thinks about the world in a different way than I did even 5 or 10 years ago. So it's curious to be me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing it, Jim. The mercurial part of you, the traveling part of you, the diversity noticing part of you. I know that you, in the way that I know you, one of the ways that I know you, you're an attender. You pay attention to things. And I'm curious, what's some of what has your attention these days in this curious being that you are? What are you paying attention to these days, Jim?
Well, I think I'm like a lot of people. I'm paying attention to politics and I'm paying attention to sociological matters. I'm concerned, quite frankly. I read an article just a few days ago, and I am one of those people who sort of, I remember something from 3 minutes ago more than I do from 30 years ago. But, you know, we're the most connected people in terms of communication right now, and yet there are more and more people who are lonely and despondent.
Yeah.
And interesting to me is that one of those groups that's most identifying as being lonely or not knowing how to make friends are young people ages 18 to 22. In the church, I'm concerned that I believe the church needs to do a revitalization of itself, that it has lost its way. I personally feel like religious fundamentalism of any sort is very harmful and very hurtful, and I observe that a lot. And my attention is, as it always is focused on leadership and what does it mean to lead these days? So to my right hand at 3 o'clock is Brené Brown's Dare to Lead book. Next to it is Who Do We Choose to Be by Margaret Wheatley. I think I'm just continually fascinated by what does it mean to be a leader? What does it mean to exercise leadership? So that has my attention because I feel like the world is yearning for leaders. It's not looking for authoritarians, or not all of them, not all of us, but looking for people to lead.
Jim, when you project that out a little bit, or I'm not sure what image to use, if you pull that back into a sense of you becoming you, you that is unfolding into more Jim-ness or more of you, this attention to leadership, can you link that back or reflect back a little bit on the longer arc of that for you? You're paying attention to these things and it has something to do with the longer arc of you. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, you and I have had a conversation or two about my concern that I sometimes engage myself in leadership training because I like to engage myself in leadership training. And so I'm sort of tinkering with yet another tool to put in my toolkit. I would say the longer arc for me is to somehow think about how I can take these lessons from time in the military or time in congregations or time as an organization development consultant and continue to sort of barnacle them so that they become a deeper and thicker and broader thing. I started a podcast because I felt like I had some things and a particular technique that I wanted to try and experiment with and see if I could capture a bit of a different audience with that. To use more spiritual theological language, I believe the church needs to get outside of its walls somehow, kind of like Jesus did when he wandered around Galilee. And so my longer arc, I think, is to try and do that with my own life and somehow expand whatever experience or wisdom or suffering or whatever it is that I have to hold to somehow get that out into a broader sphere of influence, to use Stephen Covey's language. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that, well, my ego would say I want to touch more people. I want to have more fingerprints on people.
Yeah.
But I think my soul would say, you have some unique gifts, Jim. How can you offer them in a more compassionate, more loving, more broad way? What does that look like, quite honestly, Tennyson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I knew. Yeah. And it didn't sort of go there. So now I just kind of do the work on a day in, day out process. And I see this particular conversation as one of many conversations that sort of point toward the horizon.
Yeah, it kind of helps evolve the edges, doesn't it? I think of it that way, that there's this interesting relationship for any of us to sort of do the things that we do, but then also evolve the edges of the things that we do, doing the things that we do. Just before we came on recording here, you and I had a little brief reference to the thing behind the thing behind the thing. It feels to me that you in your leadership are one who is seeking to have a more or a different or a something different relationship with the thing behind the thing, behind the thing that has a whole lot to do with who we are together as human beings.
Well, I do believe that we're made for love and belonging, which is why I'm attracted to the Circle Way so much, because I think mm-hmm. the Circle Way provides this sense of being in a community where being known and being heard and being able to speak in particularly unique and vulnerable and wholehearted ways mm-hmm. is a modality that very few other sorts of ways of being with one another mm-hmm. allow. And being human is not about being singular, I don't believe. I think being human is about being present in any number of communities or tribes or clubs or whatever. And yet the interesting thing, moving back to that diversity piece, for me, is we're not intended to be monochromatic. We're intended to be in very diverse, very collaborative sorts of settings.
Yeah.
One of the things that really, quite frankly, pisses me off about the church is that we put a priest in the center of a church and we say, you're the guy or you're the gal, and you do everything, you bless, you forgive sin. And that is not a particularly helpful way of being church in the 21st century, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're in a number of questions that connect into the current and the future of faith communities, and that's broader also into just many different human communities. Hey, Jim, are there particular questions that you'd recommend are important for people to be asking these days?
Why are you on this planet? Huh. Why are you on this planet at this time?
Yeah.
What is it that you offer that no one else can offer?
Yeah.
What is it that you bring to a conversation that no one else can offer? I think that's an interesting question. Series of questions. Mm-hmm. What else do I think it's interesting for people to be asking about? What's your greatest fear?
Yeah.
What's your greatest fear? What is the fear that wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning that maybe only you and your soul know about and you haven't bothered to share with anybody else?
Why does it seem significant, Jim? I'm jumping into your response there, but why does it seem significant to ask the question around, hey, what do you fear? What is it you fear?
Because I think plenty of people walk around maybe not knowing, or maybe feeling like, I've been doing some trauma work in my own family system, which is one of the things I'm interested in fire and water, which I think you've talked a little bit about on your podcast, but there's an ancestral piece in that particular training program, which I'm fascinated by. I know that there's lots of trauma in my family system that has gone unspoken, either because it was too shameful or because it was, you know, it was off limits, or maybe people didn't know or whatever. And I think we'd lug that stuff around.
Yeah.
And until we get to that, like, I'm afraid of being alone and dying alone.
Yeah.
And being able to say that to someone that I trust and say, well, you know, Jim, you don't need to, you don't have to worry about that. You can call me, or whatever that conversation kind of looks like.
Right.
But I just feel like, I feel like a couple of things very quickly. I feel like first, the social networks that we live in, CNN and whatever else, or whatever things we kind of pay attention to, they're heightening our anxiety level already, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of people have their antennas out, and yet, unless you scream back at your TV or talk with somebody in an echo chamber that thinks exactly the same as you do, I don't know, do we get to, this is what I'm afraid of, Tennyson. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And in the church, there are plenty of questions that people won't ask because I'm the priest. And if they say something to me, then, you know, maybe it'll disclose something about them that they think about. Right, exactly. So,
Jim, I appreciate your naming of it. It connects a little into the book that's, I think, at your 3 o'clock on your right there that you mentioned earlier about Brené Brown and vulnerability, some of that. I love your thoughtfulness, Jim, and your willingness to think out loud, willingness to connect some of the dots, willingness to leave some of the dots blurry also, or the connection blurry. It's always a treat to speak with you and to think with you and to feel some things with you, to make sense of some things. If people wanted to have further connection with you or stay in touch with you, how would they do that?
They'd look for my podcast called Circuosity. C-I-R-C-U, big O for circle, S-I-T-Y. It's on Podbean. They could Google Christ Memorial Episcopal Church in Danville, Pennsylvania. They could find me there. I have a blog called CMEC Musings, but I don't write on it all that often. And I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. And and if people really wanted to know me, I'd give them my cell number and they could call me.
let's leave that for another layer.
But or they'd look for me in Peebles, Ohio, I guess in October, right?
Awesome. Yeah, for the Fire and Water Learning College program that works. That's good.
Is that plenty?
Yeah, that's good. I wanted people to be able to at least have a couple of places to start snooping with you if they feel that interest.
That'd be great.
Thanks for thinking out loud today, Jim.
You're welcome.
And to those of you listening, thanks again for joining this Human to Human podcast, the Human to Human blog and other writings and other information on my work in participative leadership with groups is available at TennysonWolf.com. That's Tennyson with an E and Wolf with two O's. Thanks for joining today.
Bye.